Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. For Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. So important. And a great service department that backs it all up with fabulous technicians, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Our play-by-play call of the day, the Purple Paladins get it done.
Clark in a straight jacket. He threw it away. He threw it away. Ping, Pagese. Leads. Timeout, Virginia. Did we just see what we think we just saw? Wow. Clark inbound. 2.4. They added a little bit of time. It's Beekman. Good if it goes. Furman is won.
The outstanding Kevin Harlan with the call. Garrett Heen, who didn't do much against Penn State when they played. They're down four, and with 19 seconds to go, they get it in. There's a foul. Heen shoots two, makes them to make it 67-65. They get the ball into Clark. He has four options there. He has four options, right? One is, right, call a timeout. Two, take it and throw it. He's doubled in the corner, so he's in an awful spot, right? Throw it off somebody's leg out of bounds. Three, just take the ball and drop the ball out of bounds. At least you can set your defense up, right? Or four, you can throw it as far as you can and have them pick it off and then get the ball to J.B. Pagese to knock down the three and win it. He took option four and lost. All right. With that, we bring in John Clark, NBC Philly. John, welcome. It's so great to have you with us today.
We are still waiting on him to call in.
Trying to do a show here, man.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Oh, now we got the intro music. Hey, you're all out of sync. You need to get yourself together. Come on, man. Get yourself together.
This is supposed to be the least productive day of least productive days of the calendar year because we got March Madness going on.
Well, you're fitting right in.
Bingo!
Oh, my goodness. Oh, jeez. All right. We'll wait for John. And John's only on because Matt wants to hear about the Eagles. I got it. It's okay. It's all good. Yeah. So. We'll talk about that. It sounds like Darius Slay is going to re-sign. Matt's all concerned about the terms. I mean, here are the terms. He's playing for you. It doesn't matter what the terms are. You're not paying it. What do you care?
Well, it was just because of the roller coaster day it was between the two sides. We went from trying to work something out to letting him request for a trade, then trying to work something out again, then releasing him. Then it became a post-June 1st designation, and all of a sudden, he's going to resign. It was just a crazy day. So I'm just curious what they are, because I can guarantee you it's going to be less than what Darius Slay was asking for. He was asking for 3 years fully guaranteed at 32 years old. Obviously, he didn't get that from anywhere else because no one's going to give it to him.
Okay. And guess what? If you're in Darius Slay's spot at the age of 32, wouldn't you want three fully guaranteed years? I mean, what's wrong with him asking for it? Doesn't mean he's going to get it. But what's wrong with asking for it? He wants three guaranteed years. in a physical sport. I don't blame them for asking.
Yeah, you can ask, but then clearly the Eagles weren't going to budge on that, so you try and work from there.
And he probably found out very quickly that other people through his agent were not going to budge on that. So then you pick your best options. Best option was go back to Philadelphia.
Well, I will say this. You always have to be careful when it comes to Drew Rosenhaus because he's Darius Slay's agent. I've never been a Drew Rosenhaus fan. I think he's the biggest snake in the sports industry.
Oh, I wish you hadn't said that. He's the Suits agent. So
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells found. There you go. Some things speak for itself.
Oh, you are so cruel.
It kind of goes back to the T.O. days where I've very much soured on and grown to a very big disdain of Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah.
He's definitely on my hall of stinkage.
One of these days on one of the shows, we're going to get to it. And we're just going to just do an entire show on who is in your hall of stinkage. I will give you a couple of days to formulate it, and then we can go through it. And I think, no offense, it would be a highly entertaining show.
I definitely think it's going to need a couple of days. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Just so you know, it's not going to be now, and it probably won't be next week. Some point in the next couple of weeks, we need to know all the nominees that you can think of over the years, because you're not going to be able to remember every one of them. Actually, you might. When it comes to hate, you lock in.
Challenge accepted.
And to put it all together, and then just by mentioning the name, you won't have to write down the reasons why. You already know the reasons why. I just got a note from the network about the extra media timeout in the first half. I just got that note. That actually is one of the questions I asked Mike in the pregame. You get an extra media timeout in the first half. Both the timeouts are longer. What can that mean for rest periods and strategy and so forth? Right. But thanks for the note. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's like, okay, this has been... This has actually been highly entertaining for me. Penn State roars in session one. NCAA wrestling. Team standings. Penn State is first at 16 points. Second place. Guess who's in second place? It's not a trick question. Who's in second place?
Penn State, I'm guessing?
No, Penn State's in first place.
Oh, they're first right now. Okay.
Oh,
Iowa.
They're in third.
Ohio State.
NC State.
Wow.
NC State is in second with 11.5. Oh, this is all botched up. Iowa is in second place. They've got it listed wrong, unless they've got the number for North Carolina State wrong. Penn State, 16. Iowa 12, NC State 11.5, but they have NC State listed as second place. The 11.5 may not be right. Doesn't matter. Penn State's. They'll have it all wrapped up by tonight. I'm just kidding. The wrestlers are amazing. They can go out and they can wrestle 7 minutes, and I'm like, it's tough, hard, physical, and come right back the same night, keep going. They're amazing. Just keep going. There you go. That's great. It really is fabulous. All right. What time's the game? What time's the air time? 5:15. When did you find out? An hour ago. Everybody else knew. Oh, my almighty!
Did we forget to tell somebody?
What, the guy that's supposed to talk first? Yeah. I don't care. It's a joke. I don't really care. I don't care. So, John Clark banged you.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. We're still working on it here. I'm talking with NBC Sports Philly, too.
John, he banged you. As simple as that. You've been bagged. You're gone.
Well, I do know he is a big Bruce Springsteen fan, and I believe Bruce Springsteen is playing at Wells Fargo Center tonight, so perhaps he's gearing up for that.
Well, Bruce is at the Jordan Center on Saturday, though.
There you go. He's probably making his tour.
There you go. How about that? So, yeah. Let's face it. I was telling a story. Joe Piscopo used to be on Saturday Night Live, and he could do a Frank Sinatra impersonation. And years ago, Sinatra put out an album entitled Duets. And he was with all the contemporary artists of the time. It wasn't like he was doing duets with Dean Martin. It was, duets with, the top artists of the current era. And so Piscopo says, and now I'm going to do a great one here with my old and personal friend, Mr. Bruce Springsteen. And it was Baby Born to Run. And he says, cats like us, baby, were born to run. Let's jog, baby. Oh, goodness. You know who would do that? The Suit. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells fouled up.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Diamond, known to the Suit as Neil Damone. I mean, Doug Birdsong just texted me, Born to Run was perfect for the Suit when he goes to Jersey Shore, and I texted him back and said, it's easy when you're being chased. All right, so.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit.
All right, scores. Alabama at the half leads. Texas A&M Corpus Christi 54-34. San Diego State up 3 at the half over Charleston, 32-29. Early in Sacramento, Arizona leads Princeton 6-2. Let's see. And, of course, we all know about the early games, how they turned out, because the big one, of course, was Furman winning 68-67. J.P. Pegues knocked down a 3. At the buzzer to win after they stole the ball. Garrett Heen stole it. And, wow. What a win for them. I mean, that was phenomenal. Now, Arkansas and Illinois getting underway at the bottom of the hour here in Des Moines. That's game two. Maryland won today. They beat West Virginia by 2, 67-65. Missouri beat Utah State 76-65. Kansas won here in Des Moines 96-68 over Howard in a 1-16 matchup. Bill Self did not coach the game. Norm Roberts was on the sideline for that game. Bill Self was not at the press conference yesterday here in Des Moines, and he did not coach the game today. But they say he's been at practice. Okay. So whatever's easy for him and easier, like did they? No offense to Howard, but did they really need Bill Self today? No. So. All right. So what's your next rant, other than your inability to get the guests to call back?
I was going to say, that's about it for right now.
I mean, you have to have another rant. I mean, you wake up angry. It's multiple things that do that.
Well, I mean, just going back to the Furman game, like, I was stunned just seeing you just throw the ball up for grabs. I mean, he had to have just lost track of the time. He must have thought that he had maybe 1 or 2 seconds left and he would just throw it up just to get it away.
That's an interesting theory. I didn't really think of that.
That was my first thought, but either way, like, you've been in that spot before, as Mike talked to you about. I mean, you got to know better than that. You had a guy right there. You have to know how many timeouts you have left. Like, know the situation.
Yeah, that's your theory is one I had not thought about. I did not consider that, and that's a really good one. He was on the national championship team, and he made plays on that team. That's the weird part. What struck me was it's a veteran that's won a national championship, that's been in that spot, the whole deal. And first of all, let's give Heen credit. Heen is a big man. Goes to the line, he gets 2 free throws. So that's what started all this. And then he's the one that picked off the pass at midcourt, and he's the one that made the pass to Pegues. Got to give him a lot of credit. But there are 4 options there. 4. Right? One is, I've got the ball, call timeout. Okay. Because he's trapped. I mean, he's in the worst place you can be. So you've got the sideline and the baseline. So those are 2 defenders. Invisible defenders themselves, and you've got 2 Furman players on you, so you're completely surrounded. So you can, at that point, call timeout, and it's a reset on the 10-second clock, so that's fine. That works. Okay. 2, you can take the ball and attempt to throw it off one of the players out of bounds, and you're so close to the baseline and to the sideline, you could have done it. Or 3, you could have just dropped the ball out of bounds. Here we go. Boom. I can't make a play. I'm going to throw it out of bounds. Right. Because that way now, at least defensively, everybody can set up. You're not in a scramble situation. Or you can do what he did. You throw the ball to midcourt, get it picked off. Now you are in a scramble situation. Your defense isn't set. And Biggie's got an open 3, and he knocked it down. Safe to say, he picked the worst option. We always forget they're 18-23. And sometimes you get in a spot, you lose your mind. And even somebody that's been through it and has won a national championship and under the intense pressure of a Final Four in a dome, tens of thousands of people there in the whole thing, and you make all the plays, and then you get into a situation like this, and you make no play. And Furman won. You talked about how the game is going to be called tonight. That's, that's going to be the case no matter what. But, again, this is a – one thing you don't want to do with Texas A&M, even though you could possibly get a steal out of it, try to avoid slapping down on the ball, and here's the reason why, right? Officials can see that. And more often than not, they'll call a foul. So you got to be able to play off at 2 feet at both ends of the floor. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Great theory on that, man. I hadn't thought about that. Maybe he was trying to throw the ball up the floor with the idea, if I just throw it as far as I can, the clock will run out. I hadn't thought about that. That's actually really good. It doesn't help him out at all. In terms of what he was trying to do, but
sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show. I'm sorry. I just got a text from Pat Kraft, so it's pretty funny. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hubbles Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. John Clark now joins us. John, welcome. Hey, great to have you with us.
You got it. How you doing?
Good. Are you going to the Springsteen concert?
Yeah, I think I am. Absolutely.
I love it. Yeah, Springsteen's going to be at the Jordan Center at Penn State on Saturday. I know you got him there with tonight, but that's great.
Yeah, you going Saturday night?
My plans are to stay here in Des Moines.
Oh, Des Moines, for
the,
okay.
With the NCAA tournament. I'm at the NCAA basketball tournament.
Okay.
Hopefully Penn State wins tonight, and they'll play Saturday. So, all right.
Yeah, you're that tied is, up. I get that. That's good. That's even better.
That's a good thing. John, Miles Sanders goes to Carolina. Not unexpected he's leaving Philadelphia, and it just turned out the landing spot was Carolina. So they needed to find another running back to go with the group. What's your thoughts on Rashad Penny?
Well, I just got back from the press conference to introduce him. He is a big, big man. He's got big shoulders. He's thick. I believe he's like 5'11", 220, 225, something like that. But he's thick. And, you know, I think it's taken a chance. He is injured a lot, but when he is healthy, he's very, very productive. I mean, his last 10 games that he's been healthy, he's averaging close to 7 yards a carry. And he has over 1,000 yards in his last 10 games when he's healthy. So I think a rotation or a running back committee will help him. You got Kenny Gainwell, you got Boston Scott, and maybe they'll draft one. You never know. But I think a rotation will help the situation because that'll keep him fresher and healthier.
Yeah, Penny played against Penn State when he was at San Diego State. Johnny can flat out fly. I mean, he has speed. No question about it. They get Bradbury. And then Darius Slay looks like he's coming back. What did you think about how the Slay situation played out?
Well, sometimes this happens with somebody who's making a lot of money and who is a veteran, and he believes he's worth more and wants to be paid more and wants a new contract and wants guaranteed money, but they weren't able to work something out. The Eagles wanted to lower his cap number, so it was determined, okay, well, we're going to have to release you because we have to lower your cap number and we can't give you any more guaranteed money. But I think Slay, from what I hear, Slay really wanted to stay. And they got back to talking during the day and they were able to work something out to keep him here because probably they were not able to find a lot of money on the open market from calling around because they were given permission to seek a trade and see if there's a better offer, a better deal out there. And there probably is not a big market at his age. And so he's coming back. So I think that's a positive. I mean, to come back with your two starting cornerbacks and still the possibility. I'm told they're trying to get something done with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. So to have those guys coming back and the possibility of C.J. coming back, I think that's a very good thing.
John, I always strongly believe, at least over recent experience, that you use free agency to fill your gaps, and then that tells us what direction you want to go in your draft. So the Eagles have been either re-signing their own players or they bring in a guy like Penny. So what do you think now the Eagles' draft direction is based on how they've filled their gaps in free agency?
Well, I would just say I think they probably go defense, right? I mean, that's the obvious. That's stating the obvious, but they are always looking for a pass rusher or a defensive tackle who can get that inside push like Javon Hargrave. They could still draft a cornerback. It doesn't mean that they wouldn't draft a cornerback. If they think they've got a stud sitting there and they want him, I don't think that precludes them from doing that because you've got to rebuild the defense. But they always want to make sure the offensive and defensive lines are good and great, and that's where they win football games. That's what they believe for two decades since Joe Banner and Andy Reid and Jeff Lurie were running the show 20-some years ago. So I wouldn't be surprised if they drafted a defensive tackle or DN. You see the positions that they value more. Obviously, they value the defensive line first and then cornerback and linebacker. Once again, they don't value as much. And it's hard to argue because games are won on the line.
Agreed. What does it mean for not just the field, but the locker room that Brandon Graham and Jason Kelce are both very much in the mix?
Well, I tell you, I mean, Jason Kelce to still be the best center in football at his size and his age is fantastic. And I think he and Brandon Graham, as well, Jason Kelce brings toughness, and he plays through so much stuff. So I think the guys around say, well, if this guy's playing through this, man, I just gotta play through it. And I think he brings a toughness, a mental toughness, and he runs that offensive line, and you see what he's able to do in space still. So to get him back, and then Brandon Graham, he's a part-time player now, and you saw that he was able to kind of come in and close out some games with sacks based on being fresh and maybe not having as many reps and as many snaps. So I think for the money, Brandon Graham at $6 million and Jason Kelce still being paid the highest paid center, I think it's a good thing for the locker room. They set the tone. I remember Brian Dawkins, when a young player came into camp and he was doing something, and Brian Dawkins said, we don't do that here. Well, that's what Kelce and BG do. They lead, and then they set the tone for the culture.
Great answer, John. And then I'll ask you finally this. Hey, when you have success, people want your people. So Philadelphia's had to replace the two coordinators along the way. Any initial thought on either one of the hires?
Yeah, I mean, I think Sean Desai is going to kind of run a similar defense to what Jonathan Gannon ran. I can't say for sure that he's going to be as good as Jonathan Gannon. I mean, Jonathan Gannon did a decent job, and I know a lot of fans weren't a big fan of Jonathan. Maybe he didn't blitz enough like they want him to. But I think in Philly it's going to be hard to find a defensive coordinator who's very popular nowadays because you can't really hit like you used to. But I think offensively they're going to stay the same. I think Nick Sirianni had an idea of how he wants his offense and defense to look, and he hired the guys that are going to carry that out. So Shane Steichen was an excellent play caller. It's hard to say that they're not going to have a little drop-off, but, you know, I think that the relationship that Jalen Hurts and Brian Johnson have, I think that's huge. You know, he's known Jalen since he was 3 or 4 years old. He called plays in college. So I think they're going to be okay. I think that they had these guys ready. I mean, they definitely had Brian Johnson ready to go because they knew that Shane Steichen and or Gannon could be going. But, you know, Nick Sirianni once again said he's not going to call plays. So he has trust in Brian that he can get it done.
I trust you'll have a great time tonight at Springsteen. Enjoy it, John. Thanks so much for your time today.
You got it. Enjoy the trip out there, and good luck to the Nittany Lions.
Thanks so much, John. Appreciate it.
You got it. See
John
it.
Clark. Thanks, John. John Clark, NBC Philly. Now, of course, we get the evaluation of the interview from Matt, whether he was satisfied with the answers and did they make him happy.
Overall, yeah. The more and more I'm hearing about Sean Desai doing a lot again and stuff, that's I'm not enamored with that. I can tell you that right now. I'm surprised to hear that because he's part of the Vic Fangio tree, but...
Yeah, but let me ask Philadelphia people why. Why are... What do you want... What did you want Jonathan Gannon to do? And what did you want Jonathan Gannon to do based on the capabilities of the personnel?
It's not necessarily that. It's more of the preparedness, the ability to adjust, which he did a decent job with this year, but it wasn't good enough in the Super Bowl. It wasn't good enough at times during the season or even last year. I mean, when you're burned by the same play that somebody ran on you earlier in the year, what does that tell me about your ability to adjust and prepare for a game? And your overall awareness. That's where I have a problem with Gannon. It's not necessarily the scheme, because the Eagles had the personnel for it, which is drop seven, rush with four. They have that. I'm fine with that. But you got to show me the ability to adjust on the fly and be a little bit more prepared. I didn't see that at times from Jonathan Gannon this year, especially in the Super Bowl.
Wow, I feel like he denied you a ring. Oh, that's right. You don't get one. All right, we'll come back.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I bother you, don't I?
Only sometimes.
Sounds like most of the time. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Working with a man who won't tolerate stupid.
That's right.
Yet he works this show every day. There you go. All right. So, yeah. Well, great to be with you today on the show here in Des Moines. Let's see, has it turned to snow yet out here? I mean, it's supposed to start snowing here at some point. It's been raining all day. Wind has been blowing. Last night, we go to a local restaurant here. Like, it's literally across the street. I mean, literally across the street. Okay? We get 10 feet outside, and the wind is blowing so hard. Like, you know, you ever see the, like, you go through the wind tunnel, and you just lean forward, and you're getting, like, bombarded? And Dick looks over, and he says, "We're taking the shuttle." All I had to do was go across the street. It was, there's no way. We'd still be walking. And it was great because we had, you know, Bob Taylor and then Susan Robinson joined us, who's one of the all-time greats of women's basketball here. 2,000-point scorer and just a phenomenal person who's been a great player, a great coach. She was an athletic director at St. Francis. I mean, she's got a lot of real-life experience in athletics. I mean, a lot of it. And, yeah. So, it was fun having her at dinner last night. All right, so there you are. You've been watching the tournament, watching wrestling. Right? I texted Pat Kraft, and I said, 8 out of 9 today, the Van Ness comeback was unreal. I mean, Van Ness is, I mean, he's going to lose. He's going to lose. And all of a sudden, boom, starts coming back, and he pinned him. Like, wow. And I said, Van Ness comeback unreal. Great start to the day. And Pat, Steve, it was awesome. Now I'm heading to Des Moines to Best A&M's, and I'll just leave it at that. I'll leave the last word out. There we go. So that will be at 9:55 tonight. 9:15 will be the airtime. I will be on the coach's show with Joe Putnam from 6:05 to 7. I will have an interview in there with Micah about tonight's game. And then go from there. How about the Edwin Diaz injury? He's expected to miss the season. And if you were to ask, and which I did, by the way, took the time to ask our training staff today, I said, what's worse, a torn patella tendon or an ACL? And all of them, the doctor and our trainer immediately said torn patella tendon. Of the two, that's the injury that's worse. Now, the worst thing you could do is then start overreacting to these things. So let's start talk about what would the overreaction be? Shouldn't be playing the World Baseball Classic. Well, he didn't get hurt playing in the World Baseball Classic, right? Because the game was over, okay? So he didn't get hurt playing the game. Well, he shouldn't be doing celebrations. Just, please, stuff happens. And that's the part that strikes me, is everybody feels they have to say something, do something. Stop it. Okay? He got hurt. That could have happened in the spring training game. It could have happened to him in the fourth game of the season. Shouldn't play the fourth game of the season. Just stop it. It happens. So Billy Epler, the Mets general manager, said Diaz will undergo surgery today. And they said the timeline on the recovery is 8 months. And you're talking about a guy last year. I mean, you can argue he was the best closer in the game last year. You could argue it. 3-1, 1.31 ERA, 32 saves and 35 opportunities, struck out 118 in 62 innings, which is more than the entire Yankee staff combined. Just kidding. So the Mets now have David Robertson, who was with the Phillies last year. And so they're going to have to maybe do closer by committee, but... And he just signed a 5-year, $102 million deal, which is the largest ever for a closer. But they got the last out. Puerto Rico beat the Dominican Republic, so that was huge. I mean, emotionally huge. That game meant a lot to both teams in the World Baseball Classic. And they were celebrating, and all they were doing was just like straight up and down, up and down, up and down. It wasn't like he was tackled or anything like that. And it turned out he landed in such a way where he did it. But it has nothing to do with them playing the World Baseball Classic or baseball celebration. Oh, come on. Really?
You shouldn't be doing that in the field.
You could have done that playing basketball in the driveway with the kids across the street. Because at 28, he's not going to have kids that old enough to play basketball. He could have been doing that. Well, he's not supposed to play basketball. Every time I turn around, people want to put people in bubble wrap. I mean, come on, stuff happens. It just happens. But that's a tough one. Easily the best closer in the city of New York, don't you think?
No response from the Yankees fan.
What? Who in the Yankees is better than he is?
I think the answer speaks for itself.
Yeah, Diaz. That's pretty easy. Okay. Anybody in your staff have 1.31 ERA last year? 2-1 strikeouts to walks? Or 2-1 strikeouts to innings pitched?
Anybody? On the current standpoint, yeah, that's correct. But in history, yeah, that'd be much.
I didn't say history.
Ah, okay. I misunderstood. Currently, yes.
Do you listen for a living? You scare me.
I try.
You're good at it. You scare me. You're good at scaring me. All right. Coach's show 6:05 to 7:00. And then game tonight, 9:55 tip-off, 9:15 the airtime from Wells Fargo Center in Des Moines here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.